We're now on the record. So good evening. I call to order the annual meeting of the Randolph Fire District Number 1 at 7 p.m. on May 19th, 2026. This meeting has been duly warned in accordance with the district's 1939 Legislative Charter, Section 5. A warning was posted in two public places with the articles to be acted upon, posted to our website, and a public entity was notified of our meeting, and the meeting is open to the public. My name is Meredith Alamia. Hi, Trudy. And I serve as chair of the Prudential Committee. So before proceeding, I want to explain how this meeting will be conducted. So Randolph Fire District Number 1 is an independent municipal corporation. This is a legal voters' meeting, and it is also subject to the open meeting law. In the past, meetings did not always follow required procedures, which caused confusion and disruption. From this meeting forward, meetings will be run fully in compliance with Vermont law. That means only one person speaks at a time, speakers must be recognized by the chair, motions, seconds, and votes occur only when an article is properly before the meeting, and public comment occurs only during the designated public comment article. This is not to limit participation, but to ensure that the meeting is fair, orderly, and lawful. Thank you for your cooperation, and with that, we can begin. So Article 1 on the agenda, and Trudy, if you want an agenda, I have them up here if you want an extra copy. So we'll begin with Article 1 to hear and act on reports of the officers. We'll begin with the clerk's report. Are there any corrections to the minutes of the last quarterly meeting? Okay. I reviewed the minutes and there are a couple of small typos that I will bring to the attention of the clerk. I can elaborate if needed, but in the absence of that need, I'm looking for a motion from the legal voters of the district to approve the minutes as corrected.
Can you point out what corrections were made?
Yes, very small. John Doss is John Lenz. A couple just names. P1 is P2. And the next meeting was May 19th, not the 21st. Yeah. And that's okay. Very small things. And I made note of them for you as well, Shannon. So I'll give them to you.
So I make a motion to adopt the minutes as amended.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, I'll vote a member.
Yeah, this corner over here, it's not separation, but they're not residents. They're here as moral support in case there was an issue. Okay.
They don't care.
They don't care. So next is the treasurer's report. Dan?
Okay. First of all, I think we're doing much better with regard to posting our reports in a timely manner. The quarterly report for dated May 19th is posted to our website, as is the newly completed audit, the annual audit that was just conducted a few days ago. As far as the quarterly report goes, all accounts with Bar Harbor have been reconciled. Our bank balance is different than our reconciled balance. That's just because of how statements are issued to us. Different accounts have different closing dates, so it's not always on the same date that I can or should report a balance or reconcile the account. But we have roughly $62,500 in our checking account that we normally operate from. There is an operating reserve account that has over $50,000. We have a capital reserve account. That's where debit card purchases come from. And that's where we probably would fund a capital improvement of some kind down the road, telemetry system that we're entertaining. So that's just a matter of moving money from one account to another. That would be done with Bar Harbor's help. Easily done online. Our CDs, we have two CDs that started at $50,000 each. They are now almost $55,000 each after multiple renewals. They're six-month CDs. They just auto-renewed, approximately 4% return. The next renewal is November. So a total of accounts, $227,900. are about, well, we'll talk about that in the audit. I think there's, it's roughly 35,000 more this than we were this time last year. And that really is because we haven't had a big expense to repair or replace or, you know, invest in infrastructure. All customers have paid. It was not without extra effort, but all customers have paid their quarterly invoice from February. No one is in jeopardy of having their water turned off. We do have an outstanding tax lien against the Verdine residents, roughly $95. There is a letter at the town clerk's office that identifies that we have a lien on that property. I'm not even sure if they own it anymore. It might be a bank's property at this point. But we do have a lien if should it ever be sold. Let's see, recent bills paid. We have our normal bills to our water operator, P2. Normally it's around 500 a month. It occasionally spikes to more than that based on what has transpired in that month. If there have been meetings that have to be covered or conversations that have had to have happened. This most recent bill was $900, and that was because there was a sanitary survey that required attendance from two people from P2, state-mandated three-year sanitary survey, and we can talk about that later. But and then also the water quality report was prepared, so those were extra costs. Quarterly cost is our workman's comp insurance. As an asterisk, I learned that I am, and all of us as a volunteer officers are bonded up to $500,000 for employee theft or embezzlement. So that was brought up that the charter recommends that the treasurer or collector of rents and taxes is bonded. It's never been done, ever, but it was mandated to be done, and it's already been done. So that's great. We don't have to pay an extra premium to bond the treasurer or collector of rents and taxes.
Okay.
Various expenses. We bought a couple more water testing kits, chlorine packets, annual QuickBooks subscription. That's how we pay our bills. That's $1,200 a year. Some extra checks that we needed to print out from QuickBooks. Web domain registration and hosting was about $250 to $300 annually. Then there's also the annual loan fee to have a Bar Harbor line of credit. You have to pay them $150 a year, and that's just the cost of doing business. Future bills expected. We're going to have annual box from the U.S. Postal Service. That's $88. I have stipend checks for everybody that earned it here tonight. That include a appreciation check for George Daniel and Dot Wathley for $200 each for their service to the district. The telemetry system is the big expense looming on the horizon. That's why one of the reasons I asked Scott Beavers from P2 Environmental to come here and discuss that briefly. But we expect that to be in the neighborhood of $15,000, but that will negate the need for any human interaction, very minimal human interaction on daily chlorine testing, and we will be able to do it in strict compliance with the state's requirements for contact time.
We have a whole article on that.
Yeah, we have a whole article. Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
And then I put down some suggested items to consider. Finalization of the waterline phone tree, waterline grade phone tree. There is that thing about DeFayette's water supply not being able to be disconnected without affecting Lumbra's water supply as well. It's a private line. It's an unresolved issue as far as I'm concerned. There's no easy workaround. We need to resume work and finish, bring it home. To conclusion, the water ordinance for the fire district. And that's about all I would say. I would recommend at some point the Prudential Committee addresses the idea of withholding stipend checks for volunteers that do not complete their term of service, whatever that may be. I would say before a year, a complete year of service is completed. Next quarterly bills will go out the end of May, and these will reflect the 20-unit water credit approved for volunteers, volunteer officers that was approved at previous pre-con meetings. That's it for the quarterly. Turning the attention to the annual audit report, I met with three auditors, Lee Brenner, Bill DeFlorio, and Bob DeLeo at Strode Independent Living, and we spent about an hour and a half to 2 hours going over the documents. Specific documents were profit and loss statement for the year, the balance sheet, the statement of cash flows, the income by customer summary, and the expenses by vendor summary. There were a few observations that were very valid, and I took them for action moving forward. The books balance, but categorization of certain things, certain expenses, should be more consistent. There are numerous categories to identify a certain expense. And for instance, P2 should always be the water operator fee, but it isn't. Sometimes it's a different expense, and that's guilty. That's my fault for not understanding QuickBooks like a boss, like a pro. So I will do better moving forward. I have two great mentors in Bill DeFlorio and Bob DeLeo, and Bob Bradford is not rebuilding his chimney.
It's beautiful.
So I believe that the auditors were happy. We have a signed statement to that effect, and so I think mission complete with regard to.
And that is all. That is also, thank you. That is also posted at the end of the audit on the website, the signature page, correct?
That is part of the document posted, again, in the spirit of transparency. All quarterly reports are posted, minutes, both written and audio are posted as expeditiously as possible. And the audit document, with the exception of the bank statements. The bank statements were available to the auditors. We didn't think it was appropriate to put bank statements out on the World Wide Web that has our routing number and bank account numbers and details. So I admitted those
documents.
Not
a good idea.
Good call.
Okay.
Nailed it. Thank you.
You're
Is
welcome.
There a motion from the voters to accept the treasurer's report? Is there a second?
Second.
Wonderful. All those in favor? Aye. Huzzah. Next is the engineer's report, which is short and sweet. There is no engineer's report this year, as the district does not currently have an engineer. Later in the meeting, we'll hear from Scott at P2, our water operator, and he will elaborate on the state of our system after our most recent state sanitary survey last month. So. Moving on to elections, Articles 2 through 8. So nominations and votes under these articles are made only by legal voters of the district. No second is required for nominations. So Article 2 is to elect a clerk for a term of 1 year. Are there any nominations from the floor? Okay, hearing none. Nominations are closed. There being no nomination, no election is held for this office, and I will perform clerk duties as chair until a clerk is identified. Article 3 is to elect a member of the Prudential Committee for a term of 2 years. Are there any nominations from the floor?
I nominate.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Thanks, Rudy.
That's wonderful. I second that, or we don't need a second. Dana, do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Thank you. Are there any further nominations for this Prudential Committee position? Hearing none, nominations are closed. All those in favor of electing Dana to the Prudential Committee for a 2-year term, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Of course not. Dana is elected. Thank you for your willingness to serve, Dana.
Sure.
Article 4. Guys, we're doing so well. Article 4, to elect a member of the Prudential Committee for a term of 3 years. Are there any nominations from the floor? There being no nominations, the nomination period is closed, no election is held for this office, we will continue our search. not supposed to sound so ominous, but there we are. Okay. Not today. Article 5 is to elect a treasurer for a term of 1 year. Are there any nominations from the floor?
Nominate Dan.
Dan Lalamia, do you accept the nomination?
With unbridled enthusiasm, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any further nominations for the position of treasurer? Hearing none, nominations are closed. All those in favor of electing Dan as treasurer, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Dan is elected. Thank you for your service. Article 6 is collector of rents and taxes for a 1 year term. Are there any nominations from the floor? Okay. Dan, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I do.
Are there any further nominations? Hearing none, nominations are closed. All those in favor of electing Dan as collector of rents and taxes, please say aye.
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 Congratulations. Thank you for your willingness to serve.
It all started in Glencoe, New York. All
right, you're talking out of order. So. I have a gavel now. Okay, Article 7. This is where it gets fun. We are now electing 3 auditors for a term of 1 year. Are there any nominations from the floor? Are you nominating in his stead? Okay. Well, we don't need a second. We can ask him after the meeting if he were to accept the nomination. Assuming that is true, are there any further nominations?
Lee Renner.
Do you accept the nomination, Lee?
I'm.
Wonderful. Thank you. Are there any further nominations for an auditor?
Bob DeLeo.
Assuming that Bob DeLeo, were to accept, are there any further nominations? Seeing none, the nomination period is closed. All those in favor of electing Bill DeFlora as auditor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations, Bill. Thank you for your service. All those in favor of electing Lee Renner as auditor number 2,
aye,
in no particular order.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed. Thank you for your service. Congratulations. You are auditor number 2. All those in favor of electing Bob DeLeo as auditor number 3 in no particular order?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Assuming he accepts, which we will ask after this meeting. If not, we will continue our search for a third auditor. Congratulations, Bob DeLeo. Thank you for your service. Moving on to Article 8, to elect an engineer for a term of 1 year. Are there any nominations from the floor? Hearing none, nominations are closed. There being no nominations, no election is held for this office. The Prudential Committee will continue to work with P2 until an engineer is appointed. Article 9, voting a tax for the 2026-2027 term. The proposed tax rate is to remain the same at 5%. Is there a motion from the voters to approve the proposed tax of remaining the same at 5%?
I make a motion that we approve the tax rate remaining the same this year as last.
I second that. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of keeping the tax the same, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Article 10, what we've all been waiting for, a telemetry update and any questions. To hear an update on the telemetry system from RFD1's water operator, P2, Scott, is here to provide an update. Thank you for being here. I'll turn the floor over to you. I think we'd like a telemetry update and a bonus if we can have an update on the sanitary survey and what everything is looking like.
Sure. So the sanitary survey, I'll start with it, because the state is still not done. So they will send us a letter outlining what transpired that day and if there are any violations. And they're not in that just yet. It's not surprising, that they take their time. I would assume it'll come the next week or two.
And we don't really know what's going to come out of it. I think there's a good chance if they're going to have issues with not taking daily flow meter readings, because they've had those issues in the past, and nothing's been done about it. And then, you know, I don't know what they're going to say about the residuals. I just don't know. In the past, you know, we've worked with them and we kind of float along fine. So I assume most people here know it's sort of a current situation with that. Beyond that, we really have no idea of any potential violations. They don't show their hand very well. Yeah, understandably so.
Is the old chlorine tank going to be cut down to be the base for the new chlorine tank? I mean, so we replaced the chlorinator or what have you, and it's supposed to be in be encompassed in a receptacle.
It's called secondary containment. The day tank is the plastic tank which holds the chlorine mixture that's injected into the water system, and there's supposed to be secondary containment, which literally can be a bucket, you know, with a greater diameter of the day tank, and it can only be, you know, 2 or 3 feet high. So you can make shift with that. So they're going to come back, that's right, and say we need secondary containment. We could potentially use the old day tank, cut it in half, and drop
that in there. Was that a finding last time? Or did you have a secondary?
We had a separate system.
Okay. Within the last 3 years, we had a new day tank.
Replaced the chlorinator.
Yeah.
So it's just like an open barrel that you can put
yeah.
the day tank
and
in.
We have the old chlorinator
yeah.
sitting right by it,
yeah.
empty. It
yeah.
just needs to be cut down a little
yeah.
so that we can get a good reading on the level that's
yeah.
in the current chlorinator.
I
am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
just
there
trying
to, if the day tank
right.
starts leaking, it's there to pass the
okay.
I mean, literally some places use garbage or a little feed bins. I mean,
yeah.
it's very...
Yeah, I mean...
Even if that doesn't work, the cost involved to handle that, it will be minimal.
Yeah, I mean, even so, it's kind of like using something we already have that's already
yeah.
Chlorine resistant.
Right.
Wouldn't have to worry about...
It's the old secondary container.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
we get that.
All right.
Yeah, right, so that's going to be it. Beyond that... I mean, I don't think there's going to be anything else. It could be things like the overflow, screening, air vent, stuff like that, but everything should be fine. You're sort of on top of all that stuff.
Yeah.
When that happens, we will get the letter, but you will get the owner of the water system will get that letter as well, and there'll be a date to satisfy the violation. So, if they come back with a demand for flow meter readings and different issues with the, the residual reading, daily residuals, then that flows into what we're hoping to do. So, we you met Roland,
mm-hmm.
okay? So the engineer came to that sanitary survey. To see the system, but then also to sort of hear what the state was thinking and try to maybe pick his brain a little bit. So Roland changed his views a little bit. Roland was in touch with us. Well, I guess he wasn't in touch with Bill, but we tapped Bill, of course, for his information, just some details on the connection between the two sources, where it mixes and how it flows, and check valves and that sort of thing. And with all that information, Roland came up with a recommendation to the state to allow us to do what we're hoping. which is implement a remote telemetry system that will take daily residuals, will track flow data as well. Standard thing used by countless systems all over the country, Vermont. And this system, we already got the quote for less the flow meter. And as you said, Dan, all that hardware, the telemetry, and the installation of that should come in around $15,000 or $16,000.
Okay.
That's what we think. There'll be, you know, some cost for rolling, but it shouldn't be much. I did bring to give everybody, or I brought a couple copies of the letter, and you know, I don't know if anybody wants to read it now, but you can take it home. But this letter here is what we submitted to the state engineering team. They're going to read this, they're going to get back. No idea.
Okay.
What it is. We just don't know. And the reason it isn't just cut and dry like it is for most systems is because you have a very unique system that you have two sources. One of them is a spring that's very unique in today's world. It's not well. So there aren't booster pumps involved. There's not a well pump involved. And where the water mixes is down in the field toward the spring house. And the state says, what they've always said, what we used to do was collect it at the first service, which was the doors. And that's what we did for years. We didn't have to have a second, reading taken. Since that isn't happening and apparently isn't ever going to happen, that's what's sort of driving all of these issues with having two readings daily here. They take daily readings and flow data over at BTC every month. All that data is sent to us. We compile it, put it together, and submit it. State, what's called a monthly operations report, an MMR. At this point, you know, we have our fingers crossed that Grohlen makes a very good case, and he's probably right as to why this can and should work. It's just the state rules. And if they come back, and approve it, we're on our way, we'll schedule done, we'll order the stuff, and we'll, spend a day here implementing the system, which will be connect to the water line that right before it discharges out of the downstairs in the spring house. On the side of the checkout list that way. And we, then we'll have to connect it all. I assume we'll be able to have multiple people who could see that data in real time anytime they want. But essentially all we're doing is, we're using it for the MOR.
Mm-hmm.
When you do an MOR, it's, you compile the data, you send it to the state, and they look at everything, how much water is being consumed, and then the residuals. The other thing it's good for is every month, if you see a spike in the flow, your initial reaction, a big spike, is what's going on. It could be anything, right? Some of the people filling swimming pools, or the town is filling pools, or often it can be the main person. A lot of times the way we figure out that there's a leak happening. I can get into, if the state comes back, I hope that they're going to come back and either approve it or come back with options. What would be the worst scenario is if they just come back and go, nope, it's not going to work.
Right.
And don't try to help us. But we will push very hard to get them to help us. We're not sort of afraid of them. We work with them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It, unfortunately, a lot of times depends on who gets it, which engineer, which person there, and how reasonable and sort of tenured and experienced they are.
Yeah.
Right? You get somebody who's brand spanking new and trying to prove themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Whip behind the ears and just wants to make a reputation.
So, anyway, I'll leave these with you guys so you can read them. I can also email it to you. I don't know how long they're going to take. They didn't even acknowledge the receipt of it. I had to get in touch with them and say, did you get it? And all this other stuff. So, that's where they are.
All right.
It's a funny thing, but that's how it works.
Thank you. So yeah. I'll open it up to any members that have questions limited to the telemetry update. So please raise your hand and wait to be recognized. Dan.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Scott, does VTC monitor their flow rates every day?
They monitor their flow rates. They don't document them every single day, but they re-document them. Good portion of it is again.
Point leader.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And then when we add the flow meter to the initial design of the telemetry system, that will be a daily flow.
Yeah.
Or real time.
We'll probably try to document it, you know, the same time every day, so it's 24-hour meter.
Okay, so let me understand. We're going down. You need to have somebody go down to the pump house and take the numbers on the flow.
No.
Every day.
Well, right now that's what's supposed to be happening.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
And then the residuals comes through the pipe junction that joins with VTC and goes up to Deering's.
Yeah.
So is that the reason why they want Deering's as the first line? Because that junction right there in the middle of the field is where the water blends?
It's supposed to be written. The rule, the water rule, it's called Water Supply Rule 21. And what it states is you're supposed to take a daily residual at the first connection. Okay? Most systems don't have combined. It's not uncommon. Right? There's certainly many systems with multiple sources, but usually it's very simple. There's one line coming out of the source. Who's the first connection? Where's the first connection?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're supposed to take it. And that's where it's usually taken.
Is there any way that we can modify the water line to Deering's to provide for a connection for an outside entity to go in and take the residuals?
You can take a residual from their outside state.
That I don't want to cause an issue with trespassing, getting them anxious about having people on their property. And so I'm just trying to think in terms of what other opportunities would be given to us. I mean, obviously we're the water district. We have the right to look at meters and so on and so forth. So we are entitled to go upon their property.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have the title to turn on their spigot outside, because it may be turned off from the inside for the winter time.
Right.
It may, cause irreparable interior damage to the house. So we don't want to create that situation. So I'm just wondering if other organizations have implemented a similar type of situation to get outside of that first connection concept.
I am not familiar with systems that have somebody other than the homeowner or the resident taking that routine, other than using a telemetry system.
Okay.
The problem with the Dory's doing is we were able to get the state to allow us to take a second connection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's second or third, fourth, a close connection.
Yeah.
And, it's a very tricky thing. It seems weird that there's not really a good alternative, but there's not. Telemetry systems are very common in this kind of world.
Yeah, no, I think that it would be the ideal solution for us as a small organization.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd...
Well, I guess your first statement was, could we install or change the water line?
Yeah.
Sure, we could do that. Pretty expensive proposition, though. Yeah, it's just expensive.
Yeah.
Get a permit to construct in the state, but the expensive part is actually doing it. You know, dig up the line, cut it, change it, install the line. Very.
Well, in the summer months, we could potentially convince the Dorings to allow us to use their outside spigot to get some testing done. Is there a time of day that it's supposed to be done?
No.
Dan, you had a question?
I think what you were talking about, Dana, is something that I've heard Bill DeForio mention. Scott, you probably mentioned it too, the installation of a sampling tap.
Mm.
That would be from some distance. Again, you need the required contact time. That's why they don't want it at the source. They want it at the first tap to see if after it's traveled through so many, the surface area of so much pipe, there is still a viable amount of chlorine. That's
right.
Why they want the first tap. Because Dorians refuse to play ball anymore, we thought about sampling tap. It is unclear to me whether you can have a sampling tap and then install a telemetry system at the sampling tap. I think that's a lot of the ideal scenario, at least in my engineering mind, is to keep it all under the one roof in our pumphouse. If we can solve the equation, because it is an equation that has something to do with diameter of pipe, surface area of pipe,
right,
length of water pressure, flow rates. If we can solve it so that we can put a coil down there in the bottom of the pump house and sample it right there and be done, because I think the big picture is to get away from the idea of daily human testing, relying on a member. And the last thing I want to ask is directly to Scott. Is there a state mandate that requires a homeowner, because they are the first tap, to comply and provide opportunity and to test? Is there some kind of leverage we have on the dorms?
I don't think there is.
I don't think there is either.
Yeah,
okay. And we are right now allowing the Florios. It is a proximity. It is it's maybe as far as Strode is. And I understand why the state added the Strode requirement, because there's a big population density there that, we want to know what the chlorine content there is.
Mm.
But it's not like we're keeping something from the state. We are still testing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's just not at the first or the second, but it's at the third tap. And there is a precedent for it. And it's not like we want this to be the normal way of doing it. From now on, we are taking steps to embrace in that new methodology. With the
I understand.
Is there a question there?
No.
Okay.
I asked the question about is there a mandate for a property owner, a homeowner, to comply and allow, because they're part of a water system, state we can make them comply.
Understood.
And that is, Scott said there isn't.
Wonderful. Thank you. Are there any further questions for Scott? Scott, when we talked last, you said the number that you would suggest the Prudential Committee flagging for earmarking for a potential purchase and installation once the state gets back to us was $25,000. But what you said this evening was $16,000 to $17,000.
Yeah.
Is that just the system? Is that also including labor? And after your call with the engineer, is there an update on that number?
There isn't an update. That number is based on the telemetry system and that telemetry system to be installed by pump controllers who we'd be buying it from.
Okay.
The additional costs would be Roland's, the engineering costs, which if everything goes this way, it's going to be sort of marginal. you know, some costs from us, and other than that, maybe some incidentals, but not.
Right.
But that should, that, yeah. And somebody brought up the number 25, and I think I recall saying, shouldn't be 25 if you do this,
mm-hmm. Right.
That should be 20. I mean, the problem is, if they don't allow this, then there would be additional cost potential, because this recommendation does not include, you know, the coil pipe or any of that stuff that we rolled around as ideas and mm-hmm. have done at other systems.
Right.
Roland believes and is trying to make the case that we don't need that.
Right.
So we figured we'd try that first, you know. Now, if you do have to add pipe inside or outside of the place to satisfy those contract time requirements, it's going to add cost. You know, I have no idea how much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, just for the record, yeah. In your professional recommendation, what value would you suggest up to?
I mean, I think I would hope 25 is enough. You know.
Okay.
That, you know. I really feel that should be enough. Worst case scenario means we have to ask for a pipe.
Okay.
You know, if we get into a situation where they're going to make us to lay pipe outside in the ground, you know, now we're talking a whole other ball of wax, mm-hmm.
right?
Right. Get excavators in there.
Right. And that would be pipe. The worst case scenario.
That would be worst case scenario. The cost of pipe is absolutely through the roof right now.
Okay.
I don't know what that would. But I mean, we're just, in our minds, we're thinking, we're not going to have to go there.
Right. Manifestation.
So.
Awesome. Yeah. Are there any further questions for Scott? Okay, great. We'll proceed then to Article 11, which is...
I just want to thank Scott.
Oh, yes,
of
course.
For all of his hard work and putting this all together and coming here this evening and sitting in the sauna with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonding.
We truly appreciate it.
Yes.
And thank Roland as well.
And all of our questions. Yeah. Thank you for being so available. So we're going to move to a Prudential Committee vote on designating a portion of existing fire district funds for the future purchase and installation of a telemetry system as an administrative action pursuant to the district charter. So under Section 4B of the charter, the fire district has authority to own, maintain, and operate water supply systems. Under Section 24, that authority is exercised by the Prudential Committee. Since this action does not levy a tax, does not involve borrowing, and does not amend the charter, this article calls for action by the Prudential Committee only and does not require a district-wide voter vote. So I will now look for a motion from the Prudential Committee to designate a portion of existing fire district funds up to $25,000 as recommended by our water operator to the future purchase and installation of a telemetry system once we get the thumbs up from the state.
So moved.
I second that. Is there any discussion from the Prudential Committee? I.e. you.
No, I'm...
Okay, great.
I'm disgust out.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? No. The motion carries. Huzzah. So Article 12 is any other business. This article allows for brief, non-substantive items, announcements, thank yous. We've done some thank yous. It doesn't permit motions or votes. So is there any other appropriate business to be had? Yes, for sure.
For you, Dana, Dan, I know it's been a keep learning curve, and I appreciate all you've done.
Thank you.
And she's done very well,
thank
too.
Thank you.
I have a fun announcement. So we just... Don't laugh at me. So we are waiting to get in the mail a bronze plaque for the pump house, the William and Trudy DeFlorio pump house.
Oh, my goodness.
So that will arrive later this month. Thank you for all their service. No, we're going to, what I'm going to say is we're going to have an unveiling. We're going to have snacks, and you're going to be the people of the the evening and forever enshrined in our pump house.
We'll get the Herald down there.
Yeah.
Bring your wellies.
So it should come by the end of the month. We'll make an announcement with proper notice and all that, and we'll have a little soiree. So very exciting. Thank you.
That actually came up in the, am I out of order?
Yes.
Can I be in order?
Do you have a brief comment?
Yes, brief comment.
Out before we enter the public comment period, sure. Other substantive business?
That expense came up in the audit, and your husband questioned it. What's this expense from Etsy? I said, Bill, it's a surprise.
Small business.
So, and to his credit, he dropped it. And he just,
so, yeah. Okay. So, are there any other business? I have another other business. I'm not sure if we can do that this meeting, but Dan made a comment, and we had discussed it since we live under the same roof, but full year checks only being given to people, on officers that serve the full year.
Any
check that served the full year. So if somebody chooses to leave their position mid-year, don't prorate it, but they just don't get their check.
What is it that you want to do?
I want to have it be so that a volunteer only receives their check if they serve the full term that they sign up for, that they are nominated and accept.
I think it needs to be tabled until...
We can add it to the next quarterly meeting. That sounds good to me. Okay. Any other business? Yes?
Just to clarify, this year's, we issue stipend checks in arrears for the previous year of service. They have been prorated accordingly.
Yes.
Am I allowed to comment?
Sure.
I'm not going to be here, but just thinking about it, I would consider maybe prorating in certain circumstances, such as failed health, family crisis, unable to continue, rather than some other issue.
Blanket. That's a great
observation. Yeah, that's
Shannon,
a great idea. That's a great idea, and I think that we can make that happen. I was thinking, that's a great point. I was thinking more of along the lines of if somebody quit, just because they were disgruntled or what have you. So that's a great point.
No.
So hearing no more other business, we're going to move to our last article, Article 13, public comment. So that's limited to 2 minutes per speaker. If anybody has public comment about anything that we've discussed, now's the time. Wow, no public comment. So seeing none, is there a motion from the voters to adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. Meeting is adjourned at 7:48 p.m.